Well, you please take your seats, and that'd be fantastic. It's great to be with you this morning. And as I said, my name is Matt, just one of the pastoral team here, and so it's great to be with you. And we're in the midst of a series that's called New Home, New Adventures. That's our theme for this year. And we have been, over the weeks, just been unpacking that in different ways, because obviously we have a new home, a new place that we're meeting, and we celebrated that last week. And a home is a place where you belong. It's a place where you grow. It's a place where you do life together. It's a place where people are equipped and trained and raised up and released into all that God has for them to do. It's a place that has a heart. And hence, just even that little moment that we had there with one of our Fusion family, it's just those, you kind of get a little bit of an insight into kind of what's actually behind everything and what's the DNA of what we're about. And so this place is meant to be a home. But God has given us a home for new adventures. He doesn't just give us a home just to kind of keep on doing and being the same old thing. He says, no, there's a new season. There's new things that I want you to walk into. And so there's a place that we're stepping into the unknown. And so my little table has disappeared. Sorry, I'm going to put that there. Much better. It's the dilemmas of a preacher. Thanks, Stu. That was amazing. That was so quick. I'm going to put that over there. If I can put that on there, so that I can stand over here. But a new home is for new adventures. And adventures can sometimes be scary. They can sometimes be daunting because it's unknown. But what I do love is that what's unknown to us is known to God. And He has given us this new home because He wants to venture into those new adventures. Bear Grylls, the noticed adventurist and professed Christian, says this. He says, Jesus, the heart of the Christian faith, is the wildest, most radical guy you will ever come across. And so he's kind of saying that as a Christian, Christian's not being dull and boring, and a Christian is actually the most adventurous life that you can live. Why? Because our God is a God of adventure. And when you connect with Him at that level, when you understand that's who He is, your life will never be the same again. Our key text for this year has been Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19, which says this. It says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. I don't know about you, but I sometimes find there's an innate ability in me that wants to always go back to what it was, always go back to what the past was. But God is saying this to us. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wastelands. And so God is actually, we are praying that over you as individuals, over our church, are saying, God, we want those springs to come. And I think the rains that have come recently upon our land and upon our nation have been a wonderful prophetic sign of what God is wanting to do in your life. That He's wanting new rain to come and new life to spring up in places that you thought were dead or that you thought were dry. And so, new home, new adventures. And we've looked at a couple of things. We've looked at having a sign-me-up response to the adventures that God's got. We've also looked at the fact that it's Jesus who equips us and makes us competent as ministers of the new covenant. And what I want to speak about today, I've simply entitled, Trust the Map. Trust the Map. And because if God has given us a new home for new adventures, you've got to trust that He's got it all mapped out. You've got to trust that actually He has a plan and He actually has something that's mapped out. And we've got to learn to trust that plan and learn to follow that plan. And I remember back in South Africa when we had national service. And it was a time where when you finished school, you had to go and serve in the defense for 2 years. It was a requirement. Everyone had to do it. And you would actually go serve your national service. And you went through a whole lot of training. And part of the training that you went through involved us, I remember for us in particular, being dropped in the middle of nowhere. Well, it seemed like the middle of nowhere to us. And we were dropped in the middle of nowhere. Stu Clark, you know all about this stuff. And we were dropped in the middle of nowhere. And we were told that we had to do this night, follow this map to the certain destination, which happened to be an old farmhouse some many kilometers away. And we had to simulate capturing that farmhouse. And so but here's the thing, in the middle of the South African bushveld of the outback, if you want it was so dark that you could only see a few meters in front of you. It's kind of like it, that's how dark it is. It really is pitch black. And so you literally couldn't do it. And what we had to do is that we had to use the navigational skills that we had been taught during our training to actually find the targets. And they didn't give us a compass, because you might think, well, that's easy. Just get a compass and you just do your thing. No, they didn't give us a compass. They actually taught us to actually navigate off the southern, off the stars, the Southern Cross, and they kind of said, actually, if you do this and do that, and they had this thing there, they said, you can actually establish where north is. And then you would actually kind of go, wow, that's amazing. And then said, once you got your north bearing, then you can use your map, and you can actually navigate your way towards where you need to go. And it was amazing, because I remember when we first set out, we thought we knew it all, and we set out, and then you're walking through thorn bushes and you're walking through spider webs and you're kind of tripping over stones and you're kind of like going along, and then you'd stop and then you kind of go, hang about, let's get our bearings, because we kind of feel like we're lost right now. I don't know if you ever feel like that sometimes in life when you're on about the adventures of God. Sometimes it feels like I'm not quite sure where I'm going. I'm not sure where I'm headed. And then you stop, and then we'd get our reference point again, and we'd look at the stars, and then we'd kind of work out where north was again, and then we'd get our bearings, and then we would adjust, and then we'd set off once more. And I love that, because when we took our eyes off the reference point, that's when we began to go off. But whenever we stopped and put our eyes back on the reference point, that's when we got back on track again. And there's a wonderful life lesson there for us to actually know, if God has it mapped out, we've got to make sure that He is the reference point against which we are measuring our journey. Not just relying on ourselves. If we just relied on ourselves, we never would have got to our destination. But actually, as we stopped and as we began to look at the reference point, we actually did reach our destination. You know, in Jeremiah 29, it's a scripture we know well, in verse 11. God promises the Israelites while they were in exile in Babylon. And so He speaks this word into them to say, hey guys, don't worry, I've got this. Don't worry, I have a plan for you. Don't worry, I am going to bring what I've promised to pass. And He says this to them. He says, for I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. And I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I love that there they are. They're in captivity. And God speaks out to them, trust the map. Trust the map. Trust that actually I am at work. Your job is to simply seek me with all of your heart. Simply do all of that, and then I will guide you into what I have for you. In order for us to walk into that adventure that God has for us, we need to ensure that we're constantly coming back to the reference point, constantly coming back to who He is, constantly understanding that He's the one who has plans for us that are good. Just like the Southern Cross was our reference and we had to keep on going back to it, in the same way we were created for Jesus to be the center. And that's why I love for us to be able to have moments like what we had today, where we just centered around the cross and we just take communion together, because it's those moments that actually center us and against which we measure ourselves. Psalm 32 verse 8 says the following. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I want you to think about that. Sometimes we think we know best. But God says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. It says, I will advise you and I'll watch over you. Do not be like a senseless horse or mule that needs a bit and bridle to keep it under control. Many sorrows come to the wicked, but unfailing love surrounds those who trust in the Lord. So who are you trusting in? Who are you trusting in? You know, trusting the map means trusting the Lord. Because the best life, the best pathway, the best adventure is found when we fully trust Him. Proverbs 19:21 says it this way. It says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. I don't know about you, I sometimes have many plans in my heart. But actually, I'm just, as I get a little bit older, a little bit wiser, I'm just learning just to sit in this thing of actually understanding that ultimately it's the Lord's purpose that is going to prevail, because Jesus knows best. Not me, Jesus. You don't know best, Jesus knows best. And so we need to make sure that we can live in that place, because we can make many plans, but what really matters is what is God's plan for your life. He's got it mapped out. The sinful nature will always try and kick against that thing of what God's plan for your life is. And so I know why, because I feel it within me at times, and it actually happens. And just like a wild, untamed horse will kick out against the bridle when it's first put on it, so too does the sinful nature do the same thing. But eventually that horse begins to learn to trust what that bridle represents and trust the rider, and actually know that it'll take it to good places. And the scriptures, you don't wait for a bridle to be put on you, because you don't want that. But actually, let's learn to trust the Lord and actually understand that His purposes for us are good. But don't be surprised when sometimes we're talking about these things. You know, on your best days, it's easy to say, trust the Lord. But sometimes when you're not doing so great, or you're just going through a season, sometimes it's not always so easy to live in that place that I'm talking about. And you're kind of sitting there saying, and you've got those feelings and thoughts that are coming through your head that are doubting God's direction for your life and whether it's actually best. Even Jesus was targeted with those very emotions, and he had to face those very same questions when he was targeted by the devil when he was in the wilderness. In Matthew chapter 4, you can go read it. We haven't got time to look at the text. But I want to quickly point out that the reason why Jesus came out the other side victorious is because he essentially had three things going for him. The first thing that he had going for him is that he knew his Father. He knew the Father. If you just read a little bit before that, Jesus gets baptized, and there's this voice that comes to heaven, from heaven, as he's being baptized, and it says, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I'm well pleased." And so he knew the affirmation of the Father. He had come from the Father himself, and he knew that his Father was good. He knew that his Father was faithful, and he knew that his Father would always come through with what he's promised. And we've got to start there if we're going to actually live and trust the map. If we've actually got to live in this place and understand that our Father, our Heavenly Father, is good. But secondly, he also had the Holy Spirit, who it said actually led him into the wilderness. So he went in the power of the Holy Spirit. He then for 40 days and night didn't eat any food. So he's physically weak. And then the devil comes to try and tempt him with a whole bunch of stuff. And it says that Jesus is able to resist him. Why? Because the power of the Holy Spirit is within him, helping him, empowering him. And you and I have that same gift within us that Jesus said it's better for him to go, because he will send that precious Holy Spirit to dwell and live within us. And then he had the Word of God alive inside of him, because every time the devil tried to say something different, Jesus came back with what the Word of God actually had to say and said, no, you're saying that, but the Word of God says this. And so those three things are valid if we're going to learn to trust the map. We've got to understand we have a good Father, we have the Holy Spirit, and then we have the Word of God that is full of promises that God wants to say over your life. Everyone is yes and amen. Everyone is yes and amen. And so don't be surprised when you sometimes feel those feelings, because or have those thoughts or think there's something wrong with me. Or even Jesus was faced with them, but that's how he overcame them. And trusting the map is actually learning to overcome in the same way that Jesus overcome. So why do we battle to trust God? Well, thank you for asking that question. That was a great question. Why do we battle to trust God? Well, as I was thinking about this, we could come up with all manner of reasons. But I think one of the big ones is this, is that I think we want to know it all up front first. We want to know it all up front first. You know, in the car, most cars these days have a GPS inside of them. You know, maybe yours doesn't. Don't feel judged. But most cars, if you don't have it on you, you have it on your phone, and they have a system that interacts with your phone and those kind of things. So most of us have access to those kind of things. But when we trust the GPS in our car, because when we put in a destination, before we even set out anywhere, we haven't even moved a meter yet, it tells us exactly where it's going to take us. It tells us how long it's going to take us. It tells us what obstacles we're potentially going to face on the way. It tells us if there's any tolls to pay on the way. It tells us all those kind of things about the destination, any delays that you might experience because of traffic. And if you don't like the route that it's given you, you can actually choose another one. So we trust the GPS, but I think sometimes we treat God as if he's a GPS system too. And we kind of go, what I mean by that is that we want to know all of his mapped out plans before we go anywhere. We want to know it all up front before we set a foot anywhere or start doing anything. We want to know it in advance before I back out of the driveway of my life. I want to make sure that I know it all. As I head about this adventure, I hear about us preaching about this adventure. And I'm saying, yes, but I want to know all the details first. Before I commit to that adventure, I want to know the specifics. I want to know what it's going to cost. I want to know just all the obstacles. I want to know how long it's going to take. I want to know all the details about it. Hello, anyone out there kind of feel like that's sometimes how we live our lives? But God doesn't work that way. Because living like that doesn't require faith. Living like that doesn't require faith. And I sometimes think that we end up trusting the GPS more than we end up trusting God. We don't question the GPS. We follow it blindly. And I remember one time we were in Barrel, of all places. I mean, who needs a GPS in Barrel? But we did. We were trying to find the Donald Bradman Museum. So we put in we want to go to this place, and we just blindly trusted the GPS until we got to the destination, which was not the Donald Bradman Museum. It was Donald Bradman's house. It wasn't the place we were trying to get to. And yet we blindly just followed the GPS without even questioning it until we got to the destination and found out that blindly trusting the GPS is not always the way to go. And sometimes, if I'm honest, when I put things on my GPS, I sometimes don't even check to see where it's going to take me. I just trust it. Anyone else like that? You'd put it in, you don't even look through, it's going these turns and that turn, and you simply just trust it. You're like, yep, back out the driveway, bah, bah, off you go. Yeah, yeah. Who's got a lady's voice in their car? I've got a lady's voice. I'm not talking about your wife. I'm talking about the GPS. Anyone got a male GPS voice in their car? No? So, guys, no one used GPS in this church? Anyway, so I follow the directions. I just go whichever way, and I'm just blindly following those kind of things, and I'll just make the turns it tells me. But why is it then that when it comes to God, we want to know in advance? Why is it when it comes to God, we're prepared to blindly follow the GPS, but we're not prepared to follow God that way? And I find this interesting because we don't negotiate with the GPS. Well, not often. I mean, I have been known to argue with my GPS at times. But more often than not, I'm just kind of following where it takes me to go. But we have no problem negotiating with God about the destination that he has for our lives and about the adventure that he has for us to live. And I'm thinking, guys, I mean, if I'm to be honest, there's a part of me that thinks it would be so cool to know the detail of the plan that God has for my life. It would be so cool if I could know every aspect and every detail and everything, especially the ending. That would be really good. I'd love to know the ending. I'd love to know kind of how it works and all those kind of things. But I'm not called to trust the detail of the plan. I'm called to trust the author of the plan. Hello? Guys, that deserves a better response than that. I know it's a long weekend. I know you're sleepy and you're just like relaxing. But we're not called to just trust the detail of the plan. We're called to trust the author of the plan. And it's really important to get the distinction there, because sometimes we're so focusing on the detail that we don't even start because I haven't got enough detail. I need more detail. No, no, no. You've got to learn to trust the author. And the detail will come later. Some of that detail you may never know in advance. It'll only become obvious once you actually journey along the way. I've got to learn to trust God. I've got to learn to trust his nature. I've got to learn to trust his promises. I've got to learn to trust his character, because he knows best for my life, not me. So I've got to let go. I've got to let God, and I've got to trust the map. I've got to trust the map. And I stand here as a 54-year-old. And I think I haven't always done that well at times. But hopefully I'm getting a little bit smarter about learning to actually rest more and trusting the map of what God actually has in store for my life and the journey that He has me on. It's this relationship between God's sovereignty on the one hand and our free will. It's this kind of great mystery about God's a sovereign God and He can do what He likes. And He's got it all mapped out, but He's given us free will. And I love the fact that God's in control. There's no question about that God is in control. He's the creator and He has a plan for all of creation, including your life. But He's also given us free will. He's given you free will. But here's the thing. That free will is given to you for a reason. Because He wants you to choose Him. Because what you choose, you will follow. We being given free will, God says, yeah, you can do whatever you like. But actually the purpose of free will is for you to choose Him. See, He hasn't enforced salvation on you. He says, I want you to choose Jesus. Because whatever you choose, you will follow. Religion will try and enforce it on you. Jesus says, no, you've got to choose. You've got to choose Me. You've got to surrender. You've got to choose Me. You've got to invite Me in your life. You've actually got to choose and recognize that that's what you need to do. You know, there's only one choice really that we have. And that's choosing Jesus and His glorious plan for our lives. That's the guarantee that Jesus has for you. You were created for that. You know, sometimes I think our past and our hurt and our fear and our pain and our muddied personal identity can be like we've got a windscreen that's caked with mud. And so we don't even set out on the journey because we say we can't see. I can't see where I'm going. Well, I think what we need to do is to recognize where those things are at play. And we need to clean the screen of our lives. And that happens when we surrender, when we repent, when we seek Him. That's when we begin to clean the windscreen and begin to see a lot different. You know, there's two characters in the Bible that I want to look at because each of them were great men of God. But each of them responded in a different way to this trusting the map. And the first one that we see is Moses. We all know Moses, just a great man, a great leader. And he was asked by God to lead the Israelites out of captivity in Egypt, back into the promised land, the land that God had promised them. And it says that in Exodus chapter 4 that Moses asked for a sign. He says, God, I need a sign to know that, number one, that is that You've called me and You've given me this authority to lead. Number two, that these people are actually going to listen to me, the Israelites, and that Pharaoh is going to listen to me. And he says, give me a sign. So God says, okay, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take your staff. I want you to throw it on the ground. It becomes a snake. He says, I want you to pick it up again. He picks it up and it becomes a staff again. He says, that's sign number one that will let people know that My authority is on you. He says, here's the second sign. He says, I want you to put your hand inside of your cloak. And so he puts his hand inside of his cloak. He says, bring it out again. He brings it out. It's leprous. He says, I want you to then put your hand back in again. He puts his hand back in again and brings it out. It's clean. He says, that'll also help people know that I'm with you. And he says, if those two don't work, he says, what I want you to do is I want you to take some water from the River Nile. And then if that doesn't work, I want you to pour it on the ground. And as you pour it on the ground, it'll become like blood. That'll be the third sign. And so you're thinking, man, that's pretty heavy duty. I mean, God's given Moses some serious, serious signs. But listen to Moses' reply in verse 10 of Exodus chapter 4. He says this. He says, pardon your servant, Lord. I've never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since You've spoken to Your servant. I'm slow of speech and tongue. And the Lord said to him, who gives human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives the sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go and I will help you speak and I will teach you what to say. Moses' response, if you read in the story, is, Lord, can't You send someone else? I don't know if you've ever had moments like that When you know that God is speaking to you and you know that He's got a plan for you, and you're saying, God, send someone else, and God is angry, and it says that He actually ends up appointing Aaron as His spokesperson. And I think sometimes I can respond like that too. Sometimes you can respond like that too. And we say, Lord, please use someone else, because unless you show me all the details, unless you show me that it's 100% guaranteed, unless you show me that I won't hurt, I won't be hurt, I won't fail, I'm not going to be ridiculed, unless you show me all of that, please won't you send someone else? And God's like, I don't work that way. He says, I'm not a GPS. I'm God. And I have a map. And we need to trust not only the map, but we need to trust the cartographer behind that map. And there's a God who has a plan. God hasn't made a mistake by choosing you. He loves taking ordinary people and doing extraordinary kingdom things. My life is an example of that. I'm no one special. I just said yes to the adventure God had. And if I reflect back on all those years, I say, God, I never could have imagined. Let me tell you, when I said yes to leading a church, He didn't tell me all the details about everything that that involves. He didn't tell me about all the stuff that goes with that, the good, the bad, and everything in between. I just said, yes, God, I just want to follow your adventure. And I'm so glad He didn't tell me up front, because I probably would have said no. But He's the reference point against which we actually need to constantly reference. And then the second person is Abraham, and the team, they can come and join me up here. That'd be great. Is Abraham. And so we find Moses' response, but Abraham had a very different response. Every time God laid an adventure before Abraham, he responded by trusting God and trusting the map. He did that. In Genesis 12, verse 1, the Lord says to Abraham, He says, go from your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all people on earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham went as the Lord had told him. I love that little phrase there. Abraham went. He didn't have the details. He didn't have the specifics. He didn't have the plan. He didn't have it all kind of figured out. He didn't know. He just chose to trust the map and the author of that map and say, God, if you want me to go there, all that I know is I need to get there. So all that I'm going to do is set out. And I'm going to take my family with me and I'm going to set out on that journey. And God, He sets out with him. And we see over and over again, when God promised him an heir, through that promise that we just read, even though he and Sarah were way past childbearing age, he says he chose to trust God. And later on, when God says to him, I want you to take that son that you've now got, that was a miracle son. He says, I want you to take that son that I've actually promised would be an heir for others. And I said, now I want you to bring him and sacrifice him to me. And it says, Abraham takes his son, Isaac, and he goes up the mountain in obedience, because he knew that God would come through. Because he trusted the map. And he knew that the character of the God that had asked him. And God sees his heart and intervenes and provides a ram in the thicket for him. You see, Abraham responded to God without question. I think I'm naturally more like Moses. But I want to be more like Abraham. In my natural self, I'm probably more like Moses. And maybe you are too. But I want to be more like Abraham in my response. Quick to listen to God's call. Quick to trust Him. Quick to respond in obedience. Quick to trust the map and to trust the author of that map. I want you to think about the fact that every day Abraham had a choice to make. He had to, every day, he had to get out of bed and he had to trust the map afresh with every footstep. I'm sure there were some days when his humanity rose up and maybe fear and doubt, and he was thinking, oh, maybe we shouldn't have come. Maybe we should have stayed. Maybe, maybe, maybe. But just like we had to come back to the stars and reference and get our bearings again before we set back out on our night route march. So too, Abraham would just remember the promises of God. Remember what he's spoken in his covenant. And he would say, actually, that helps reset me again. Now I'm going to trust the map. I'm going to trust the one who's behind the map. Because God, you know best. Trust is allowing someone to guide us without fear of the outcome. Trust is allowing someone to guide us without fear of the outcome. It's easy to trust when things are going well for you. It's not so easy when they don't seem to be. But remember, your today is not the end. God hasn't finished. He's still got things. The adventure is still unfolding. God has a plan, a good plan for your life. He has things, an adventure that he wants you to live. And we need to trust him no matter what may be going on around us. Because streams are rising up in the dry places. He's doing a new thing. Let his word feed you. Let his Holy Spirit empower you. Let the Father affirm you. And let the rain of the new season pour out upon you. Get rid of the mud that may be blocking your windscreen. And trust the map. Won't you stand with me, please? Trust the map. Trusting him. Maybe if you need a response, just lift your hands to heaven. If you feel comfortable doing that, we just want to pray. Trusting the map. Trusting the author behind it. Not relying on yourself and saying, God, I don't need to know all the detail. I just want to learn to trust you more. God's got good plans. Great adventure. The best life for you to live. Father, I just thank you for people that are responding to you right now. Thank you, Lord God, that through this, you're just speaking into their situation and circumstances, and you're just inviting them to trust you fully. I pray, Lord God, that you would just put a certainty in their heart and spirit that you've got it all worked out. And Lord God, where our response has been more like Moses, may our response become more like Abraham. That when you speak, we obey. When you speak, we move. When you speak, we trust. Lord, where our patterns in the past have perhaps been just wanting to know it all up front, I pray, well, whatever has got in the way of that trust, just to be cleaned away right now. The past, hurt, fear, pain, whatever it may be. We just ask that that would be taken right now. And there would just come a deep-seated trust and faith in who you are. Knowing that you have this adventure mapped out. And that you're going to do great and mighty things. We thank you, Lord. And praise your name. Thank you, Father. Just want to do one last thing and then we're just going to sing. But if you're here and you don't know Jesus, or maybe you've been out of church for a long time, this message was for you. Because the message you need to hear is that God's got a plan for you. He hasn't forgotten about you. You need to learn to trust in him. And trust your future to him, because you were created to bring glory to him. And I was once you. And we prayed for you before church this morning. We didn't necessarily know you were coming, but we prayed for people just like you. Say, God, reveal yourself to them. And if you're here today and you're saying, Matt, I'm one of those people. Maybe I've never been to church. I found myself here today. Or maybe I've been out of church for a long time and I'm here today and I know that I've just got to surrender to the map that you have for my life. And I'm going to ask you to do something very simple, and that's just to respond to the invitation of the map maker. I'm going to ask every eye across this place to be closed, every head bowed, please. But if you're here today and you say, Matt, I'm one of those people, I'm going to ask you to do a very simple thing, and that's simply just to raise your hand, and then you can put it down again once I've seen it. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and we're going to pray with you all together. But the decision that you make here today will set you up for the rest of your life. And so if you're here today, while no one else is looking around, why don't you lift up your hand and say, Matt, why don't you include me in that prayer? And I would love to pray with you and for you. Thank you. Is anyone else that says, Matt, that's me? Anyone else that says, include me in that prayer? I'd love to pray with you and for you. We're going to pray together. And so if you put your hand up, I want you to pray this prayer. And we're going to pray with you here today. Lord Jesus, I just acknowledge you. You are the author of my life. And I choose to trust you. I've tried to live life on my own terms. And it hasn't worked out. I'm sorry for that. Please forgive me. I'm not proud of what I've done. But I thank you that your grace is here for me. I choose you. I entrust my life to you. I want to trust your map for my life. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray you would just come and fill and touch those that have prayed this prayer here this morning. Thank you, Lord God, that you have a plan and a purpose for their lives. And we praise you in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer, we'd love to give you some resources. We'd love to help you on your journey. And so if you want to head out to the info desk or maybe even tell someone that you came with and say, actually, I prayed that prayer with Matt, then we would love to actually just come alongside you and help you in whatever way we can on this incredible journey with Jesus. But let's close out our gathering now just by lifting up our voices, worshiping Him, because He's the author of it all.